The Farm in the Countryside podcast is brought to you by Pivot BioProven. Get what you paid for, the nitrogen that stays put, weather or not. Learn more at pivotbio.com. Welcome to Farm in the Countryside. I'm Andrew McCray. Turmoil in the domestic and international ag markets in 2020 might spell pressure for land markets. However, prices in many areas remain strong. What trends do we see in land prices so far this year, and what can we expect in the latter half of 2020? What are the strategies for those looking to buy, sell, and rent? Randy Dickhoot with Farmers National Company is our guest. It's all on this week's Farm in the Countryside, brought to you by Pivot BioProven. Pivot BioProven replaces nitrogen fertilizer with microbes that adhere to the crop's root system and apply nitrogen each day. 2019 performance report data shows Pivot BioProven consistently outperforms synthetic nitrogen fertilizer year over year, providing corn growers improved yields and a more dependable nitrogen supply that isn't lost to the environment. To read the performance report, go to pivotbio.com. And for more information on Pivot BioProven, just text PROVEN to 31313. When the COVID crisis began to impact ag commodity prices this spring, many people wondered what effect it would have on land that would be selling soon. Would that uncertainty lead to lesser demand and lower prices? And we wondered, would those effects be felt equally across all types of land in all regions? Farmers National Company releases regular reports on the value of that land and the trends they see throughout the year. I visited with Randy Dickhoot to catch up on the latest trends. Randy, I appreciate you taking time to visit with me here. You recently had a land report come out from your company, and we're going to dive into some of the specifics, but why don't I have you just start by giving us a general overview of what's happened here in the first half of 2020?
Yeah, thank you for inviting me to be on. The first half of the year started out there in January, I think, with some optimism in farm country. Producers had come off, most places a better harvest than they thought after that really tough planting and summer season, delayed planting and everything. Then grain prices were a little better. The Chinese trade deal was getting taken care of, and that brought some optimism about some soybean and other product exports. And then also the last part of the 2019 MFP payment came through. So started those first months, there was a little better cash flow, a little better outlook for the coming year. And then, of course, the COVID aspect hit. But prior to that, land that sold during auction and so forth, first few months was just steady, maybe slightly stronger for that good crop land, as that optimism brought a little more buying interest into the country. But as I said, COVID hit, and also the oil price wars and decline in ethanol and all the struggles that livestock producers were going through, not to mention, all of agriculture. So, and the precipitous drop of grain prices. So that brought some caution into the market. But we continued on that late March, April timeframe with the auctions we had scheduled. But they were different. They were either became online auctions or a regular listing or a bid sale. And then we did hold a few where people sat in their pickups in the parking lot and the auctioneer cried. So they were all, got through that. And it was a little more caution in the buyers, but those got sold typically. Of course, then we moved into the slower time of year with planting and early summer time frame. That's always slower in the land market, and it was slower than usual because buyers and sellers were being more cautious, watching how everything was going on. But in there, with a few transactions, it still seemed like that good quality farmland stayed pretty steady. The lower quality, like usual, suffered a little more with some lack of interest and a decline there in price some more, but everything else stayed a little more steady. And so that leads us into kind of where we are now.
Were you surprised at all that land values seem to have held as well as they have, or in some cases, I think they've even gone up a little bit given the COVID crisis. Why is that? Interest rates certainly are low. There's certainly some farmers and other individuals that still have money and they're wanting to invest. So is that where the strength in the market has come from, despite the turmoil in a lot of the ag markets?
Well, the land market's truly a supply-demand market, and one reason was there's lower supply, as there has been the last couple of years, and then even a little bit less on the market for sale of good quality cropland for sure. There's some recreational properties, some lower quality properties on the market, but they don't sell as quickly, that's for sure. So low supply, the interest rate being low also does help. There are, as you said, farmers and ranchers with money that they can spend because they're waiting to buy that farm or ranch comes up near them. The other aspect was the demand actually perked up a little bit. Wasn't a lot, but it perked up a little bit from the investor. And those were, we were seeing some first-time individual investors come into the market and call us about farms for sale. They've never invested in farmland before, but with everything going on in the market, stock market, and low interest rates, and concerns about commercial real estate, they decided they'd invest in some farmland. And so, and also investment funds, I think, again, somewhat of the same reason, concerned about commercial real estate investments, looking at, for some stability for that longer-term investment in farmland.
You mentioned something that I wanted to visit with you about is the number of investors, or we might say absentee landowners. Does that seem to be growing? In some states, that's certainly a very strong component of who holds that ag land. Are they continuing to gain ground on who owns that land out there that we're farming?
That will vary by state, as we probably all recognize. You know, some states do not allow corporate ownership or limit the ability of an outside investor to buy land, own land one way or other. Then there are states that, pretty much open to foreign or, domestic corporate ownership and such. So it does vary between states. Typically what we see is 60 to 80% of the good farmland that comes up for sale is purchased by local farmers, which makes a lot of sense. Others are in states will be local investors, buying the person that lives in town or has already has a farm, wants to add to it or, like that. And then in the states that allow, anybody to own land, we see a certain percentage that's purchased by outside investors and investment funds and so forth. And for instance, in a state like Illinois, that might be 6% of the farms that come up for sale, just as a number to look at. So in the end, there is more interest. Some states there is more than others. You take like in the Delta, like Arkansas, with the larger farms, there's always been some more interest by outside investors, we'll say. In other states, there's less so. Illinois typically has had a lot of non-farmer or non-operator owners, because people hold on to that land as they inherit it down through the generations and typically don't sell it. So we are seeing a little more, I think, from individuals and investment funds, but it's still a small percentage of the land that comes up for sale because investment funds, for one, are very particular about what they're going to buy. They won't run up the price to buy something typically. That's usually local farmers who have more of an economic ability to and reward for owning that land than maybe the investors. So they're very disciplined. Some individual investors, if they have 1031 exchange money, will get more aggressive. But again, that's still not a large part of the land sales.
The mix of buyers has remained pretty much the same, or do you find here in 2020 that you are having more interest from farmers or outside investors, or has that mix remained pretty much the same?
Probably just, we'll tell more as we move through the late summer, fall, and winter land sale season. you know, we're coming off the slower time here. But I think the mix will stay pretty much the same. There may be some regional differences. You know, if you get some areas that have been high in dairy production and you have retirement or closing out sales, there may not be as many, you know, local farmers that want to pick up that land or something. But yet there may be the opportunity to get it bought. Flip side, we are seeing, like I said, a few more investors, mainly individuals that are stepping in because they want to diversify. I don't think it'll be any big rush, but I think people are seeking some stability with their investments. They want something that, you know, even though farmland returns, we'll say 3% as an investment, that's better than what they can get on a safe CD. So farmland is, you know, again, looking like a good, safe, long-term investment.
Sure, sure. In your last report, did you find any areas or regions of the country, certain states that seem to be stronger right now in the farmland sales than others?
Oh, I don't know if there was really any region. That's kind of varied. Earlier in the year, late last fall, some sales in Kansas were very, you know, were stronger than we'd anticipated. You know, North Dakota, with some of the, you know, huge problems they had with late planting and then harvest of sugar beets and root crops and corn and soybeans, would have thought that would have challenged it, but good quality cropland stayed pretty steady there. I think because of the insurance and because of the MFP payments and so forth. Of course, they're again challenged with these low commodity prices, so we'll see how that works. You know, on the other side, I think there were some regional areas that were more of a challenge if they didn't have as good a crop yield as others, and then an area like Wisconsin that's high in the dairy and the challenges that the dairy producers have had for the last 3-4 years, beginning to take the toll financially, and again, more retirement and close out sales and trying the market to absorb all that.
Have you noticed any difference in your rental rates here in 2020, the land that's being rented out?
We didn't see much change during the winter and early spring when those rental rates are negotiated and finalized. And I think, again, that was due to that all happening when there's more optimism among producers and, you know, getting those government MFP payments and getting that last one that was finalized helped that cash flow. And so, you know, having farmed myself, farmers don't like to give up land that they're farming because they're always looking to a better year coming up. And so I think rent stayed pretty steady. There's demand for rental land, you know, at that time for sure.
You know, you mentioned there early on about how land sales changed, at least how we conduct them back in the spring. Are you finding that there will be, do you think, any permanent changes? I asked this question, Machine Repeat. We had him on here a while back about how machinery auctions have changed. Will we change the way that we do some of our sales even once we get this virus out of the way, do you think?
Oh, I think there will be. Just like everything that kind of been sped up by the virus, you know, we all know how to do Zoom better. We know how to, you know, multitask differently and Zoom or FaceTime with our children and grandchildren. So auctions are the same way. Selling land, I think we will continue to see a few more online or online and public auction because as this virus fluctuates, I think sellers want that security to know that the auction will go on and be open and fair and get the market price for the land. So I think we'll definitely see, you know, more online, people seeking information more online also. I don't think we'll go completely back to where we were.
You, of course, are working with lots of different individuals and companies and investors and so forth. Any recommendations here in 2020 for those that are looking to buy land
just trends or different tips that you're seeing that you would suggest for them?
I would always suggest to look for and purchase good quality farmland. I know some investment funds or many investment funds look for that kind of, we'll say grade B, B plus, it's a little above average land to buy. They don't, like I said earlier, don't want to compete at the top end of the market with local farmers who really value that, best farm in the neighborhood probably more so than they do. But I think long term, year in, year out, having that really good farm pays dividends, and one, it'll appreciate probably a little better. It won't depreciate as much as a lower quality farm in the downturns, and probably a little more consistent production. And local farmers definitely realize that and value that highly, and that's why those farms are bid up more. So even for the investor, I think it's worth that little extra more cost to invest in that good farm as it will pay them off in the future. So do their due diligence, know the area. We've seen too many times that investors would buy a farm, whether sight unseen or based on not having the full information about the farm, and it ended up not being a good investment. For example, they purchased what they thought was an irrigated farm. Come to find out 5 or 7 years later, when they were thinking about selling it or weren't happy with the investment, that, the water was not as good as they thought, or there wasn't as much, or there were restrictions, or the irrigation equipment wasn't as good as they thought. So always do the due diligence, no matter what type of property it is and where it is. And, if there's drainage tile on the eastern Corn Belt where you need to get the water off, and whether it's good, solid irrigation in the western Corn Belt where you need to get the water on it. It pays to know what you're buying, and probably rely on some boots on the ground locally for some help with that.
You mentioned the different classifications, I guess we could say, of land, the A ground versus B or B plus. Is that good ground still coming up for sale? I mean, in my mind, I would think that best ground sometimes is in pretty tight hands because we don't want to let that go. But have you seen any change in how that land's moving?
I do think there is, as you're thinking, a little less of that good quality for sale. I know that was kind of drying up in the spring sales we had. We were selling probably some, less than top quality land just because that was what people were letting go. A lot of the land that gets sold is land that through estates or trusts or people have inherited and they decide to sell it for, tax reasons, and that it didn't get sold previously, or legacy reasons, whatever. And then the new owners, the next generation, are the ones that decide to sell it. And you're right, if it's a good quality, if there's not too many people involved in the ownership, and they all have a common goal, then I think they will keep it. But there's always a certain percentage that will sell it, and definitely with some of the lower quality might not bring as good an income or rent, becomes more likelihood that they would sell it. So, yeah, I think there's a shortage of really good quality land on the market, and we'll see kind of how that plays out this fall and winter too.
With the buyers that you're working with, I would think right now, interest rates are low, and you can many times lock in a pretty low rate for quite a while. Does that seem to be adding strength, even though we've got, I guess, the ups and downs of the ag markets right now? I would think that the interest rate would be helping with the sales on this, or am I wrong?
For some, it does help. I think for the farmer buyer who's probably getting a loan on it, that, helps them out. Like all of us, it makes that loan payment less, and so you can get it paid back sooner, or you can cash flow it sooner. For the investor, a certain number of the investors, certain portion of them have cash to bring to the market because they might be doing that 1031 exchange purchase, and they have that cash they need to reinvest, or they have from other investments that they're either cashing out or they've held some money in reserve to buy a farm or so. So quite a few investors either have the cash or, you know, they don't have to borrow very much. So the interest rates aren't quite as important to some of those, of course, to others. You know, it does make a difference. Investment funds are all over the board. Some only purchase with cash that they have to invest, and others may leverage their cash and borrow up to 50%, we'll say, to leverage it. So see a combination of both.
I know you certainly deal with some hunting and recreational ground. Has that land held its price well, or are we in a time where people don't have as much cash to perhaps spend on what might just be recreation and something that's not really tight to my core business?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the recreational interest in land market was kind of perking up as the stock market, you know, ran its course, you know, and the strength of that. People were feeling, you know, low unemployment. People felt like they had some money to spend. So you are right in the fact that, you know, I think there's more hesitant on some who have some financial challenges or concerns, and their 401k or the, you know, has gone down in value. So they're probably not out looking for that additional recreational ground to buy. On the other hand, in the right locations, you know, near urban areas, we'll say like in upstate New York or, you know, rural areas that people might be interested in finding a place to get out of the cities or urban areas, I think that interest for land is a little stronger. We don't, you know, we do recreational land and deal with it. A lot of ours is, you know, further away from cities and stuff. But I think there is a certain amount of movement by people who live in the city who want to live out in the country now due to what's been going on. And that will play out over a kind of a period of time here in certain locations. But in the heart of our plains and stuff, there won't be a lot of that. So recreational ground, I think, will just kind of somewhat be a struggle for a while until things settle out.
Right, right. No, I could see that there may be some folks in cities that would like to do something different. These days, being a little further apart isn't always that bad. For those that are looking to sell right now, any certain things that they need to have on their mind? Is there any one better time to sell than another if I have some land I'm wanting to market?
For farmland, the typical key sales seasons are as we move into pre-harvest. So we got, you know, August, very early September before farmers get in the field, and then there's the post-harvest. You start seeing a lot of auctions in November, early December time frame. Usually those are all time, so, you know, the new owner gets full possession and the lease is done and, you know, all of those things. And then the secondary season probably is that, ramps up again mid-January through about the 1st of March, maybe even middle of March. There's, you know, sale season there, trying to get it sold again before the next planting season and get possession by the new owner. So those are kind of the two high times. But sales happen. Auctions happen year-round anymore. It was just a little slower this summer and spring than usual because of the COVID effect.
You know, before we wind up, Randy, from this most recent report, anything that was a surprise to you, any trends that you see, other things that you think folks should know about?
You know, I think as it came out here in the, you know, June time frame, it almost surprises most of us that good land values were staying pretty steady just because of everything else going on around us. You know, the challenges in agriculture, whether, you know, it's a low corn and soybean prices or you're a livestock producer or a milk producer and the challenges there and the drops in the price of your commodity. And then, you know, having to have another, you know, government support payment come along. I think all of that going on, and then people look at the stock market and how it fell and the loss of jobs, and, you know, it just puts a really cautious, more pessimistic look on things. Yet farmland, as we know, is countercyclical to most other, or the stock market and anyway. And that surely came through because people look to own farmland if they're investing, or they keep farmland if they inherit it, or a farmer buys more farmland for other reasons than just investing in the market or such. And I think all of those things showed the stability of farmland and that long-term aspect of it, that people were looking for some safety. And I think that really played out, as opposed to the overall negative that we've been going through here over the last 4 or 5 months. So I think that probably surprises a lot of people, but if you really dig down into it, that's kind of the way farmland has been, you know, for a long time.
Before we wind up, many people are pretty familiar with Farmers National, but just give them a quick overview of what you do, because you certainly are out there working with a lot of properties and owners and farmers and so forth.
Right. No, I appreciate that. Farmers National manages $9.2 billion worth of land through its farm and ranch management, hunting lease management, and forestry management around up to 30 states in the country. And we work for, you know, managing for those non-operating landowners. And we also are the largest independent mineral management, oil and gas leasing company in the country. So we try to take care of the landowners, anything above or below the ground for them, and work with our local farmers and ranchers and leasing that property to them. On the real estate side, we sell about 800 properties per year in those 30 states we're licensed in. So we're a major player in that. We appraise businesses, agribusinesses, grain elevators, land, ranches, whatever it is around the country too. So kind of anything to take care of when it involves land. And that's the heart of what we do.
Randy, I appreciate the time. It's good to catch up and kind of get an overview of what's going on in the land market.
Appreciate it, Andrew, and I enjoyed visiting.
I know I've paid special attention to land sales in our area so far this year, and I would agree with Randy that good crop ground seems to be holding its value or even increasing in price, while more marginal or pasture land might be struggling a little bit to keep up with sales in 2019. It will be interesting to see if and how those prices are impacted yet this year, especially as a new round of rental rates will be negotiated after this year's harvest. Thanks for listening. I'll catch you next time on Farming the Countryside. The Farming the Countryside podcast is brought to you by Pivot BioProven. Get what you paid for, the nitrogen that stays put, whether or not. Learn more at pivotbio.com.